Hi, I'm Renelle Golden, and you're listening to the Movie Making Podcast. This episode is brought to you by Audible.
The Audible app makes it easy to listen to your favorite audiobooks on the go. They have a wide selection of genres like mysteries, wellness, motivation, even celebrity memoirs like Britney Spears' The Woman in Me. And did you know members get full access to Audible Originals and the exclusive Words Plus music series too? Audible has exclusive content from top celebrities and renowned experts right at your fingertips. The best part is Audible offers new members a free 30-day trial when they use the Movie Making Podcast's exclusive link. All you have to do is head on over to audibletrial.com/moviemakingpod to sign up. That's audibletrial.com/moviemakingpod. Get your very own free 30-day trial and explore all that Audible has to offer today.
Today we are here with Lisa London, casting director. How are you doing today, Lisa?
I am good, Renelle. Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I'm really excited that you're here, and I'm actually even more excited to share your wealth of knowledge with our listeners. Before we get too far, though, I want to talk about how you became a casting director.
Yes. So my journey is an interesting one. I grew up actually in the business in Los Angeles. My father was a very well-known television director in the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and he directed shows like Brady Bunch, Partridge Family, $6 Million Man.
Oh, my God, really? I grew up with all of those. Oh, I love that. I did not know that. That's cool.
Yeah, and he directed big mini-series, which are now known as limited series, like Shogun and Chiefs and Ellis Island. And
oh, my God.
Yeah, The Scarlet and the Black. And he worked with all these Academy Award winners. So basically, I grew up on sets. And after school, I would go to the sets and I would hang out and I'd meet the actors and I'd talk to the actors. And
then, that's so cool. Everyone's dream, little girl's dream, maybe.
I don't know. It's just part of my life.
It was normal for you.
Yeah. And so what happened is I worked as a production assistant during my summers of college. And then when I graduated, first, I got to go and work as a production assistant with my father on a movie that he did called The Scarlet and the Black, and it was with Gregory Peck,
Christopher Plummer,
and Sir John Gielgud. So I did that for 2 months after I graduated in Rome.
My God, that's cool.
Yeah, it was an amazing experience.
Yeah.
And then when I came back, I worked as a production assistant on a pilot that my dad did for Aaron Spelling called Hotel.
Oh.
And he let me sit in on the casting sessions. And those casting directors who were very well known at the time, Lynn Stallmaster, Tony Howard, they had a company and they let me sit in and they said, what do you think? And I said, oh, he's good. She's good. Those two would work good together. That one doesn't work. And I had a lot of opinions. Which I still
did. Did they like them? Were they girl, you're right on? Or
what happened was, 2 months later, they called me out of the blue and said, hey, we've met a lot of people to be an assistant, but we think you'd be really good in casting. And I was like, what? And they said, yeah, we think you should be in casting. And
Oh my God, it just happened.
And I said, okay. Wow. And that's when I got started.
That's the coolest backstory ever. I love that.
Yeah. And it's an interesting backstory because it's, you know, when I grew up, it was just part of my life, but I didn't, you know how everybody has a journey. So I had no idea I was going to get into casting.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I didn't know that, but that was my journey.
I love that.
And I've been there for decades now.
Which is awesome. So awesome. And you've met like the who's who, whatever, but you have a real knack for this. You've done really well. You also published a book on it to help talent. So tell me a little bit about the book, because that sounds really cool.
No, well, I wrote, what happened is in 2013, well, before that, people used to ask me like, how do I get started? How do I get my kid in the business? You know, people graduating college, actors, what do I do? What's the 411? So a friend of mine, Rochelle Goodrich, we were good friends and she done a lot of eclectic things in the business. And so I told her my idea. So we wrote a book and that was my first, it took us a while. And then that was the first version of it. Oh. And that version came out in 2014. And then what happened is in 2021.
Pandemic.
Pandemic, all the stuff changed. You know, there was so much more self-taping and there was Zooming and there's creating your reels and so many more things kind of changed. So I rewrote it and I put out a new version last year and it's called From Start to Stardom, The Casting Director's Guide for Actors.
I love that title.
Thank you.
Awesome. And I suppose it's on Amazon. It's everywhere.
Yeah, it's on Amazon. You can get it on my website, which is at fromstarttostardom.com. But the thing about it is it's really a 411 guide about the business of acting. So it's about
most people don't learn about. I love that.
Yeah. Oh. So it tells you, you know, all the steps, like how do you get an agent? How do you take a good headshot? How do you make your resume? How do you get
it's all the questions I was going to ask you today.
Yeah. Like why do some actors get callbacks and others don't? How all the secrets, all the tips for self-taping. So it's really about the business of acting.
Wow. That is really cool and coolest title ever, Start to Stardom. I love that.
Thank you.
My gosh. So I'm going to just jump into some questions that talent ask me, and I'm a director writer. I don't know the answers to these things. These are for casting directors or, you know, people on that side of it. But what are some things that actors can do when they're not working to be like perfecting their craft?
Yeah, that's an awesome question. So my first thing that I would say is they should be in classes. And I feel like whether that's acting class, auditioning class, you know, scene study, method, whatever you want to do, improv classes, it doesn't matter. I feel that being in a class is super important for a number of reasons. A, you're working on your craft. B, you're trying out different kinds of characters that maybe you didn't know if you could play.
Finding your niche, maybe.
Yeah, you're expanding your range as an actor. Maybe you didn't know you could do something super funny or super emotional. So I think that's really important. And also the other thing about it is you're working with a group of people and other actors who all have the same goals, you know, and you're really creating a community. And I feel we really need community.
Yeah. You
know, not just actors, but all of us. And so when you're in a class, you're part of a community and that's important. And if you get an audition, maybe there's another actor who will read with you. You're in a class. Maybe you're going to get connected and meet an agent or manager. Maybe you're going to meet a producer. Who knows? But maybe you're going to put together a play reading or of a short you wrote. So my thing that I always suggest to actors when you're not working is really number one, be in a class. That would be my first thing. And then the other things you can do when you're not working, I feel, is do something every day towards your craft of acting, whether that's you're reading a book about directing, acting, you know, whatever.
Reading a monologue or something.
Right, monologue, whatever. Read a script or watch film and television shows, including the classics, because I find that a lot of actors, you know, if you talk to them about older movie stars or movie stars,
they don't know.
They don't know.
Yeah.
And if you ever get on a set and somebody says to you, hey, I want this to be play it more like Jane Fonda in Barefoot in the Park, and you're going to be an actor who goes, what?
Who? Yeah.
Or are you going to be an educated actor? And
right.
So
that's a good point.
Yeah. You want to be educated, and you want, if you really want to be an actor, you have to understand and the craft of acting and watching movies and old classics, especially. It was really about the story and the acting.
Yeah, it should be too. So that kind of makes me think then. So, okay, they're doing their acting classes and they're ready to like jump out there in the world. And one of the things that I see with actors coming into the industry, I'm not sure this is the right term. Their like branding of themselves is all over the place, from how they look on their headshot to look in person to the name they have on each of their social media platforms. And it drives me nuts. Even when I get submissions, they don't have their name. It just says headshot, you know, .jpg or whatever. And I don't know who that is. And I might have loved their audition, but I can't find, you know. So how can or what should an actor do to start building their identity as an actor?
You know, here's the thing about that. Like, it should be consistent.
So I don't know.
It should be consistent. Like if you're I find it's interesting because on social media, for example, sometimes I'll see some sort of clever
like name. Big Ben Brown Bear 12. Yeah. And really you're like,
wait, who is this? You know what I mean?
I don't know.
And I feel like it's better if you put your name, like, who are you? Right? Because yeah. If somebody was searching and they would go, okay, I'm looking, you know, for whatever, I'm looking for Lisa London. And I had that like dog lover. How would you find me?
You know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. I'm just like,
I think it's very important to have consistency. So your social media, what your name is, your headshot name, you know, your resume, you know, on your headshot, if you're going to send out things, you know, at the bottom of when you send it, it should have your name. It shouldn't just say headshot one or.
And I don't see that often. Some of the most professional or seasoned, I start seeing that, but it is really all over the place. And I don't know how you guys manage all of that. Or my next question is, how do they get on your radar? Because if they're not consistent and you are out there looking for new talent, how are you going to find them? Or, you know, how are they going to get on your radar? Like, seriously,
well,
that's got to be a challenge.
You know, we've done a lot of searches. You know, my business partner and I, Catherine Stroud, we've done a lot of searches across the country. We did a movie last year, at the beginning of the year, but we started it in 21.
Casting?
At the end of 21, we were looking for identical twin girls, 18 to 22, to play the leads in a movie. Okay. And we actually used Instagram for our search, besides going through agents and managers and putting it out there, because how many identical twin sisters are there that, many are there, right? So the thing that I would say is for actors, you know, it's really about research, right? So we did a search on Instagram. Like, we're big searchers. So we're always watching programs and looking at, you know, watching film, watching TV, seeing who's new, seeing who's up and coming. So that's all amazing. But for actors to stay in touch with casting directors, or I feel like they got to do their homework. They got to do their research. So if you watch a movie or you watch a television show, let's say you watch Only Murders in the Building. Well, who cast that show? And send them a little note. I mean,
is it okay for them to do that then?
Well, I say it is. This is me talking.
Okay.
All casting directors are the same. This is me. If an actor said, hey, I really love, you know, your work on this movie, I love your work on this television show, I would love to meet you. Just you keep a short, simple note. But I'm okay for actors to reach out to me. I don't want life dissertation. Like, I don't need their whole, like, I short, sweet.
Yeah.
You know, hey, picture, resume.
That was my question.
Yeah. Attach your picture, resume. If you have a short reel, you can attach that. But don't expect a response. I mean, I try to respond, but if a casting director is super busy, they might not have time.
They're busy.
You know, but you have to be proactive as actors.
Yes.
And you cannot sit back and wait for everything to happen. You have to make it happen.
So if talent emails you, they can say, hey, add me to your database for future casting calls if I fit the description. Do you have databases like that?
Yeah. Or they can say, hey, you know, I just reaching out. Or sometimes they say I'm in a play. Sometimes they say I just got booked on a show.
Okay.
Sometimes they say like, hey, I heard I'd love to meet you. You know, I just moved here. There's all kinds of angles, right? That's okay.
Yeah.
You know, in the old days, I don't know if you remember, Renell, but in the old days, we used to get postcards in the mail.
I do.
Yeah.
I'm the right age for that.
Yeah. You used to get postcards. Hi. You know, love. I knew one guy who would write, hi, Lisa. Love David. That, you know,
was just that, but he'd keep on your radar by sending you something. He'd get
tons of auditions off of that. You know what I mean? So you just, there's no reason to sit back and be, oh, I can't do this. If you really are passionate or you really want to meet somebody, you know, send a short, sweet email.
I love that. If an actor's at a point in their career where they don't necessarily have an agent yet,
right,
or even if they do have an agent, do you think it's advantageous for them to actually not leave it all on the agent's shoulders, but still be proactive? Because I see them sometimes think, I have an agent. That's it. My career is made. And I just feel like they maybe should still be being proactive.
Yeah, well, I think it also depends on what stage of their career they're at. But if they're starting out, I think you're working with an agent or a manager, and you should definitely stay proactive and talk to your agent. Like, you know, hey, can I submit still for projects on Actors Access or Casting Networks? And they'll say, no, we'll do that. Or yes, you can still do that, you know, but we don't, like, work with your agent to get agreement on what you're doing.
But you can and can't do.
But you don't have to sit back and think, okay, well, I'll just wait for the phone to ring. I don't agree with that.
That's a little scary, but I have witnessed that. And it always kind of, I'm like, help. As I'm a screenwriter first and foremost, and you kind of got to be proactive, I think, to get anything done in this world.
You have to, like I'm saying, even if you have an agent and manager, that doesn't mean, you know, you can't like reach out to a casting director and
good.
Say, I love your work. I'd love to read for you sometime. But yeah. You know, keep it short and simple, and you don't do it every week to the same casting director.
No, gosh, no. You know. So you've had a long enough career that you've gone probably from the like open cattle calls to what we have now. It's evolving to a lot of virtual auditioning. So what do you think about the change, and what are like the pros and cons? Because now, I mean, video submissions have become very like commonplace.
Yes. And this is a very, in a way, it's a controversy question.
Yes.
So here's the thing. The advantages of this self-tape were there before the pandemic happened. So if we were here, I'm in Los Angeles, if we were casting a movie and it was shooting in Atlanta, we could get actors on tape and have those submissions come to us. So, and when we did a number of movies before the strike this year, and you know, none of them were here. One was in Minnesota, one was in Kentucky.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Or North Carolina. We cast these movies and we got to see talent from all over the place, right? And for leads for the kids, we cast a very wide net. So we get to see talent from all over the place.
Okay.
That is the advantage, okay,
okay,
of the self-taping. So we're not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater, right?
Good. Good.
But here's what I personally miss. When I was casting Sweet Life of Zach and Cody and Hannah Montana and Grandma's Boy and movies for Adam Sandler, we were in an office. We had a production. We were in the production office. We were reading actors. We got to go down to the set.
You put them through workout or something, right?
We were directing them. We were working with them. That I miss. And I love, part of what I love about the business is the human connection. Mm-hmm. And I love actors. I love helping actors. I love to work with actors, love to direct them, give them, you know, change it up, try different things.
Yeah.
So that is what I miss. So I do hope that there's going to be some sort of compromise where, you know, maybe it will become the actor's choice whether they can come in person if you're shooting where you live. And I also really hope that it's going to have maybe more callbacks will be in person.
I was going to say, is there like the chemistry reads, are those still happening in person or are they also on Zoom?
Well, they were, but I think it's changing. Like, I'm hoping it's moving forward. The other thing about it is I will say, like, a lot of casting directors I know, plus myself, we do a lot of Zoom pre-reads now. Like, we were doing auditions, virtual auditions where, you know, okay, I couldn't see you live, but here, let's do a virtual pre-read where I record it. I give you the direction. I give you some notes and see.
I love it.
And then so send that to my.
That was my kind of my next question for, or kind of ties into that. For the talent preparing for an audition in person or virtual, what's a good way for them to prep so that they're putting their best foot forward, but they're not so over prepared or over rehearsed that what you're seeing on the tape, you might not get on set. That's always a concern I have as a director. I'll get one kind of audition and I'll cast, and then there's a different person there. And I'm thinking, did you do 100 takes? So,
well, that to me is one of the not so good about all this self-taping.
Yeah, I witnessed that a few times.
You know what I mean? Like, that's why I think it's good, for us as casting directors to like start reading them ourselves on Zoom or virtually.
Yeah.
Because here's the deal. You have to be prepared, right? You have to know what the project is, what's the genre, you know, who's working on it, who's the producer, director, casting director. You have to do all your homework, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have to make those choices and decide, how are you going to play this character? Which is really all up to your creative imagination.
Yeah.
There's no wrong or right.
Right.
But one of the pieces of advice that I would tell actors is, do not do 10 takes. Do not do a million takes, because you're not going to get a million takes when you're on a set.
No.
I mean, you get maybe two, maybe three if you're lucky. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have to be prepared, make your choices, be willing to take direction in case it changes. The director wants something else or the producer. But you can't, when you're doing this prep and you're recording your auditions, if you're doing 10, 15 takes, it's too many.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
You can't repeat that.
No. And the other thing is, like, I met a girl I was teaching in Dallas, and she said, we were talking about this, and I said, well, how many takes are you doing? And she said, 35.
Oh.
And I was like, okay, girl, you are being a perfectionist and you're never going to find the perfect take because it doesn't exist.
No.
You're going to find something wrong with every single take. Stop. You know, so my recommendation.
Yourself an ulcer.
Yeah. So my recommendation is 5 is good. You know, if you've done 5.
I like that.
And also, Rennell, I find that if you start to do too many, you lose the spontaneity of it.
The authenticity or something. Yeah. It does. It changes, right?
Yeah, your authentic self, the spontaneity, your imagination. Because what happens if you keep going and going and going? What do? You overthink it.
Yeah. Do you ever get in submissions where you like see something there, but it's not quite right, and yet you think maybe they have it? Do you ever go back to them and say, you know, I want you to do it again, but here's the directions?
Absolutely.
And give him some. Oh, that's good. Okay.
There was one guy for a movie I remember that he did this part, and it was just too over the top. Like,
okay.
It was a dark comedy, but he went too far. And I called his agent and I said, have him call me. And because I knew he had the essence of the character.
Yeah.
So I had him I had him call me, and he called me and I gave him the direction. He redid it. I sent the tape to the director and producer, and they go, yeah, that's the guy.
Yay. Oh, so wow.
Yeah, that's happened many a time.
That's, you know? Okay. I was wondering. That's kind of cool.
I mean, we did that, you know, when we did Hannah Montana, we saw over 1,200 girls for Hannah.
Oh, yeah. My God.
And that was in the days of VHSs. Remember?
Oh, God.
So, you know, Miley was somebody that put herself, you know, sent us a tape. She was in Nashville, and we saw that she had this star quality.
Yeah.
So We had her retape. I mean, and it was a process.
She I loved that show. My daughter was young when that show was on, and so we watched it all the time. And she did. She had some kind of sparkle.
For sure. But that was a process. There was 9 callback. I mean, it was callback after callback. It was
wow. I love that.
You know, that was somebody when we first saw it, we said, oh yeah, she has the essence of this girl and she's got the star quality.
Did you know who she was, that she was like Cyrus's daughter? Did you have any idea?
Yeah. We knew that.
Oh, okay.
She had no effect on her getting the job.
No. I was just wondering because I was blown away. Like when I saw her and her dad, I just thought it was the coolest thing ever in that show. Yeah. Like, and I loved Billy Ray, you know, her. Yeah. I just loved them. That was a great show.
Now
my kids are old.
Miley was cast first. And then we went to her mom and said, hey, would Billy ever consider doing this? And she said, maybe we could move the family out to LA. So
wow.
He wasn't attached. He had nothing to do with it
before. Oh, wow. Okay. What a cool thing to be a part of. So on the, before we kind of wrap up, but on the filmmaking side, so, you know, obviously we have all the big budget films that, you know, could work with you, but can indie films, like, you know, the smaller indies, do they also have the ability to bring in a casting director and work with them? You know, let's say we have a $250,000 budget, or, you know, we've got these different tiers, because I think you get better talent, but most of us go, we can't do it. Are there ways to work with casting directors? Sure. I know it's a crazy question, but
no. Listen, we've done movie budgets films of indie films anywhere from $250,000 budgets to $25 million for Adam.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Then a wide range, $500,000, whatever, $750,000, $2 million, whatever.
All of them. Oh, that's so good.
But I think that here's why I think it's important to have a casting director. For independent filmmakers, I feel the reason you should have a casting director is because we're going to help you bring the best talent to the project.
Yes.
And sometimes directors and producers think, oh, I can do it myself. I'll figure it out. And then you know how this business is. Nothing ever goes perfect.
No.
No, when you're casting, shooting, filming, posting.
Oh, yes. Since the pandemic, we have a whole new like set of things that go wrong.
Right.
Yes.
So you want to have a casting director who knows what they're doing, who knows talent, and also knows what kind of talent will work for the budget of your film.
Okay.
And we have relationships with agents and managers, and we're going to help you bring that talent to your film and get you the best possible people. So I feel that it's really important for producers and directors to bring in a casting director and get them to help you. And people think, I didn't budget for a casting director. Well, you should.
You should. Yes. Well, and then another question would be then, you know, assuming they budgeted for it, at what point do casting directors like to get involved? Is it early in development? So you have as much time as possible. Like, is there an amount of time you need, like 3 months or, you know, 2 weeks? Like, how does that work?
I think it's important to bring them in early. Like, so let's say you have your script and you have development funds, or you have, you know, you've got most of your money. Maybe you're missing a piece, but you've got a good half of it or whatever.
Then you start it
because that's what you want to do. You want to do the collaboration. And listen, when you're trying to get talent in movies, especially when you're putting them together,
it
takes time. So it could take 3 months. It could take 4. It could take 6. I mean, it's all varies, but you definitely want to try to bring them in as early as you can to start the process.
All right. That's very, very cool to know, because I think a lot of indie people on the lower level go, I can't do it. And they're like, I can do it myself. But, you know, like I was mentioning with the self-tape thing, I'm not going to admit to this publicly. Wait, I just did. I've had that experience where I've cast somebody, and no matter what I do between me and my AD, we cannot get what I saw on that tape. And it's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And especially like if the film's your baby and you're like, dude, where's the guy that, you know, so I can't even put it into words. It's very frustrating.
Yeah, for sure.
So, and that wouldn't happen with you guys, probably.
Well, also, you want to do callbacks, you know, so you, and you want to give them direction and see if they process it and do it. You know, I find I tell actors all the time, come to the table with your choice and your ideas, but be willing to be malleable, be willing to change, because that's what you want to do. You want to be able to take direction. It's very, very important.
So true.
And so that's what I would advise. Always, you know, if it's for big parts or you're not sure, always do callbacks. It depends. Like if you've seen a reel and you've seen a lot of footage and you have confidence they can do it, great. But if not, there's always do callbacks. There's no harm in
it. Yeah. And chemistry. Cause I, like a lot of times with family members, having them look alike is great. You know, jaws, eyebrows, like I always look for all that stuff. But do they have any chemistry, a mother, father, the kids? Right. And that's where somebody like you could make sure we're on target. Like, because we just don't know. And, you know, I have decided in my mind, I am never casting again without like chemistry reads and things like that. Because something I did earlier in the year, and I've still got the footage in post because I'm frustrated and I might just reshoot it. And it shouldn't be that way. It's for everybody. Everyone deserves to have that movie finished. But there was this one character and I cast off a tape, and I'm sorry I'm admitting this publicly. No one will ever trust me again. But, you know, you learn from your mistakes, and that is one. Like, and if I had had a casting director, I probably wouldn't have been there in the middle of the shoot dealing with it. And it was a younger person. So I imagine they had a lot of retakes. So it's all good though. Well, where, Lisa, can people find you as a whole if they want to send you that message or just follow what you're doing?
Okay, awesome. Well, I have two things. One is my website from starttostardom.com. So they can go there. They can subscribe. I have a monthly newsletter I put out with actor tips. They can be there. I'm also on Instagram as @LisaLondonCasting. So follow me. I put out actor tips. And also you can DM me there. Not your life dissertation, but you can DM
me. And you also work with people getting them ready to audition and things like that. You said you do, you teach.
Oh, yeah, I do audition classes monthly, online audition classes I've been doing. I was teaching before the pandemic.
Oh, cool.
I have a really good, you know, way of going, helping actors to make bolder and stronger choices for auditioning.
Oh, I love that.
Classes, if anybody's interested, you can reach out to me. And they're really fun. And I always have a good group of actors. And
I bet it's really cool. I'm not an actor. I do dream about it, but you know, that is really cool. So
I help them with goal setting and all kinds of things. So
Very, very cool. Well, I have loved talking to you today, and I'm going to wrap it up with the 5 for 5 if you're up for it.
Okay, absolutely. It's been such a pleasure, Renelle.
They're crazy questions. Not really. Okay. All right. First question. What is your favorite food?
Oh, my favorite food? Great question. I probably would say roasted chicken.
That would be my son's. He loves chicken.
Oh, I love to cook a roasted chicken.
That's awesome. My gosh. Okay. Next question. This one is non-industry related because it could be to some people. So I always clarify that. But what is something that inspires you or motivates you in your life?
Oh, that's a great question. Okay, what motivates me or inspires me? You know what I would say is my kids. Okay, my son and daughter inspire me. But my daughter is very, I don't know, both my kids are super creative and they always have been.
Yeah.
So I would say my children definitely inspire me. And also, you know, I get inspired by talking to other people. You know, I really enjoy learning new things and talking to other people. And that inspires me.
It really can be that simple. I love that too, which I love talking, as you can tell. I talk a lot. So.
And I listen to a lot of podcasts with, you know, cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So cool. Okay. Yeah. Question number three. What is something in your life that you have always like dreamed of doing, but you have not done yet?
Oh my God. That is a crazy question.
I couldn't answer it. I'm glad no one asked.
I don't know. You know, I have to take this. Listen, I don't know if there is something. I mean, I have a lot of places I still want to travel.
See?
I really do, but I'm going to just say this. I never thought about doing this, but I actually did something completely outside of my comfort zone.
And oh, cool.
I went on a glider plane, and guy that I know, that he's a pilot, and he flies, you know, commercial airlines, but he also flies gliders, and he invited me to go on a glider.
Did it scare you or did you love it?
It was exhilarating. And so when you say something I would never do, I would have never in 1 million
even dreamed
years,
about it, but it was amazing.
It was something I would have never, ever, ever done.
That's like jumping out of a plane. It's kind of scary. Like, oh my God.
But now I wouldn't jump out of a plane, but he did say he would take me on a Cessna. And that is something I've always been like, okay, I'm never going to do that. But with him, I might, because I trust him, I guess.
It kind of takes that, doesn't it? Oh my God, that's so cool.
He's been flying for 4 years, so I feel like, okay.
I love that. That is really cool. Okay. Number four, what is your favorite song to sing at the top of your lungs when you're driving in the car?
Oh my God, what a fun question. my favorite song to sing, you know what? I'm going to go with when I was in college, I always used to sing Only the Good Die Young from Billy Joel.
Only the Good Die. Yeah, that's a great song. Yes.
So okay. I still have those moments.
Yes. It comes. Yeah, sometimes I break out into Queen and I don't even know why, but I'll be like, you know,
for sure.
Awesome. Okay, final question. And this is hard for people in the industry, but that's why I like to ask it. What is your favorite movie?
Oh my God. Okay, I'm going to go with this because I'm a big musical person. I love musicals. I love going to see live musicals. I love musicals. So I'm going to go with my favorite musical, which is Singing in the Rain.
Oh, that's so cool.
I know.
I always thought you were going to say like The Sound of Music, but I
know. Singing in the Rain. Gene Kelly, Donald O'Connor.
My gosh. That's a good one. I love that growing up too. Yeah. I would sneak and watch it and so nice. You were so awesome.
So many times. So I love that.
I love that. Well,
I'm just going with that.
I had so much fun talking to you. I hope we can talk again when, you know, things are different out there in our industry than they are right now. And I'd love to like hear about your future projects, and maybe one day I'll be able to even bring you on board as my casting director, because I would love that. So
Oh my God, that would be amazing. I so appreciate you having me and talking to me. This has been so fun, and I really appreciate it. So have a beautiful day.
You too. Thank you so much. Take care.
Movie Making with Renell Golden is brought to you by Samira Entertainment, supporting indie films and the filmmakers who create them. Stop by their website to learn more, www.samiraentertainment.com. That's www.samiraentertainment.com. You've been listening to Movie Making with Renell Golden. Be sure to come back for our next episode where we bring you the people who make movies you love. Got a topic about filmmaking you want to hear on our podcast? Send us an email at moviemakingpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.